Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday morning, November the 9th, 2014.
Well, it has been a great week with Missions Conference ending on Wednesday and following up this Sunday with our special speaker, Ed Gibson, so we're looking forward to that. And encourage us as we go forward this week and beyond that we're followers of Christ. Rise up, old church of God. Would you stand with me as we begin this morning?
Rise up, old church of God, have done with less earthly. Give thy hand, thy hand, soul, and strength, serve the King of Kings. Rise up, old church of God, his kingdom tarries long.
Oh, Well, we've this is now the third week of missions emphasis at the church. It's always, I think from the time that I came here years and years ago, one of the really neat times is when we emphasize missions and we listen to missionaries and we think about commitments and the kind of giving that we want to do. And through the years, we've done it a variety of different ways. In recent days, we've had someone come in really the week before conference to kind of wet our whistle and get us moving in a general direction. And then we hear reports the next week of conference, which is what we heard this past time. We hear reports and we see needs and we're able to have contact. And with the small groups and everything, we had some great opportunities to really connect with people one-on-one. And then at the very last Sunday, and that's this Sunday, we have someone come in and really talk to us about giving. And so Ed Gibson's has done this for us before, and he's going to do it for us again. And so if you look very closely in your bulletin packet this morning, you'll see a faith promise commitment card. And that's really one of the primary ways that we fund missions here at the church. It's a separate concept altogether, and we support quite a number of folks. We have a number of folks that have gone out to various fields, and so this is a special, special time. So I want to encourage you to take a long look at these things and to think about the needs that God would want you to invest in. So we'll ask the men to come at this time. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to invest in your work, and I pray that you'll indeed use this offering to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wonderful, wonderful song, In Christ Alone. Well, I'm going to ask you to stand with me once again, and sharing a song with me in just a minute. But first, turn around and shake hands with some folks around you and just welcome them this morning. And we're glad you've joined us here. This morning, and I know you want to catch up with them a little long.
I'm ready to die and sacrifice my life.
I'm Godfrey Yogaraja, the Executive Director for Religious Liberty Commission of the World Evangelical Alliance. I'd like to invite each one of you to take part in the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. It's going to be on the first Sunday or the second Sunday in November, and 500,000 people around the world in 150 countries will join us in prayer for the persecuted brothers and sisters worldwide. And I would like each one of you to be part of this great movement of prayer, bringing the persecuted church to the throne of grace and interceding on behalf of our brothers and sisters who are suffering in restricted countries. Thank you.
If you'll notice in your bulletin this morning, there is a notice about the persecuted church, how you can be involved in this week of prayer. And so take a look at that, be involved, and let's go to the Lord right now in prayer. Dear precious sovereign Lord, we humbly come before you to worship your greatness and your omnipotence in our life. Today we rejoice because you are in control. You have ordained the suffering of your people. We were bought with a price, and we gladly carry your name. So today, Father, we pray that your will be done. Regardless of the cost, your servants will lose, that they will not lose heart and they will remain faithful. We pray today that they will stand for your word and not the pain, hunger, or cold that they may feel. We're so thankful that two men were released from North Korea this morning. But Father, comfort their families. with peace and rest. Help them to rejoice in your will, that your will is being done, even through the separation that seems unbearable or unjust. Specifically, Father, we pray for Saeed in Iran. I pray for his family, his children, and his parents. Give them rest today. We rejoice in the many souls that have been added to your kingdom through his witness in prison. I pray for the guards today who will torture him, that they will be changed and follow you. As Paul said to the church in Corinth, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Christ, so that the life of Christ may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. We also hold tightly to this promise that life is in you. Strengthen Saeed in this moment and give him peace. We now thank you because you have heard our prayer and have already answered. We wait to see your glory in the lives of your suffering people. Thank you, Father. Amen.
When the valley is deep, when the mountain is steep, when the body is weary, when we stumble and fall, when the choices are hard, when we're battered and scarred, when we've spent our resources, when we've given our all, in Jesus' name we press on. Uncertain, when the road seems so long, when we hear a last breath, when a shadow means death, when we're blind to the deaf to the song. Oh, in Jesus' name we press on. In Jesus' name we press on. Jesus' name we press on. Yes, in Jesus' name we press on. Dear Lord, with the prize clear before our eyes, we find the strength to press on. We press on. On, press on, press on, press on.
Wow, that was great, Fred. Could you do that again? We're so glad to have Ed Gibson with us, and Ed's great claim to fame is he is Perry Gibson's daddy, and we stumbled onto him a few years ago, and he came and did such a wonderful job. We've always wanted to have him to come back and to share with us. He's had a great ministry all through the years, and so we're looking forward to him opening the Word to us this day. Thank you.
Good morning. We're glad to be here. Barn and I are glad to be here. This is a big day for us. And I'm grateful that Pastor Euler invited me to come preach today. And Barn and I need to be here. We don't know if it's going to be good for you or not, but it's good for us to be here. So we're a little on the selfish side today. And really, I want you to open your Bible to Revelation chapter 21. I don't know if you've ever been to a mission conference and preached out of Revelation 21. I never have. So I want to talk to you this morning. And I'm a little nervous for more reasons than one. But I get around scholarship and all that stuff makes me nervous. And I like scholarship. I just it doesn't blend with me for some reason. And here's the deal, okay? I'm just going to share my heart with you today. I don't have an outline. I got two things in my mind that if I was going to ask you to remember them, I'll tell you what those are after a while. I don't think it's an outline. I'm here today with my life. If it matters to you, I'm 73, and we've been with BIMI for 42 years, and we've been missions for 2 years. I've been preaching for 50 years, and you know how it is. That's just life, and that's not anything to brag about. That's just the fact we've been here a while. And I've got my life and I have my heart, and I want to share it with you today. I want you to listen to me, and I want to make a difference, okay? I'm not here to impress you. I'm here to help you. And I want to talk right to my preaching is kind of simple, well, very simple, and pretty straight. And I want to read to you out of Revelation 21. Well, time out. Maybe I need an outline, huh? Let me talk to you. My wife Bonnie, honey, will you stand up? Bonnie and I have been married, Thanksgiving will be 54 years. And here's the deal. 2 months ago today, September the 7th, 2 months ago today, our grandson died. So, This is a thing that was printed for his memorial service. First Baptist Church of Jacksonville printed it. Really nice. And that's 2 months ago today. Now, I think every grandparent in here right now, Stephen, 7 years old. He was seven in August the 24th. And he died on September 7th. He just turned seven. 1 year ago today, if I'd have been here and I'd have had Stephen with me, normal, healthy, six-year-old boy. And he's in heaven. Now, all you grandparents in here know you just can't get over that. There's a hole in our life that can't be patched. I think every parent and every grandparent in here would understand this is a life-changing event. And this is the first time publicly I've spoken since he died. I don't think I could have mentally, emotionally. And I'm just sharing this with you so you'll understand where I'm coming from and why I say what I'm saying today. I'm not going to put you on a... I don't want any guilt trips. I'm not looking for you to feel sorry or whatever. I just want you to think. And this is our grandson, Stephen. Stephen, if you're a sports fan, like I am, if you're a sports fan on ESPN, that's my religious channel, and on ESPN last Sunday, there was a girl up close to Cincinnati that played in her first and last basketball game with a brain tumor. That's what Stephen had. Hers was the same kind, but it's located in a little different place. Stephen's in his brain stem. They couldn't get it out. We found out last year on Thanksgiving Day. That's our wedding anniversary. We're at the emergency room at Wolfson Children's Hospital in Jacksonville, Florida, with him. Brain tumor. Last Christmas, so we're going into this season again. Last Christmas, we were at St. Jude's in Memphis, and we had Christmas Day at Ronald McDonald House. That's a different perspective on Christmas and a life-changing thing. So that's why I'm going to talk to you the way I talk to you, okay? Now let's read Revelation chapter 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. 21:1. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There's no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, Write, for these things are true and faithful. My first question to you is, do we really believe that? Do we really believe there's going to come a day when there'll be justice in Indonesia? Like we just saw the persecuted church? Do we really believe that there's going to come a day when all of this garbage will be made right. Do we really believe there's going to come a day when there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and Jesus Christ will rule and reign, and everything will be made right? Do we really believe that? Sometimes I think we need, honestly, in a Bible, in our Bible churches, I sometimes think we need to stop and ask ourselves, do we really believe the Bible? Or do we just kind of take it for granted? And if anybody asks us, we believe it. Of course, we're going to say we believe it. But here's the first thing I want you to remember. Okay, I got two. This is the first one. Whatever we believe about the future will impact how we live today. Now, my sermons start over here. I always start over here and go that way. So, in my mind, I'm sorry if you think I'm a preacher like a junior church and y'all a bunch of kids. Well, that's the way my mind works. So, maybe I ought to be in junior church. But this is heaven, okay? And we're over here. And that's where we're all headed. Right? We're all going to heaven, right? It's amazing. Heaven is where we all plan on spending eternity, and we never talk about it. Matter of fact, honestly, with young people today, and I don't buy even senior citizens, I think if you ask them about heaven, heaven, what are we going to do in heaven? What can we do for eternity in heaven? Won't it be boring? A lot of people think heaven's going to be boring. What are we going to do in heaven? Well, we're going to worship. Worship? All-time worship? Well, that sounds boring. You know why? I have a sense of humor and I like to laugh, so every time, once in a while, I just laugh for the fun of it. And let me tell you something. The reason we think heaven is boring is because we associate it with church. Worship is church to us, and church is boring, so we think worship is boring, and heaven will be boring. And well, I want to give you some good news. As far as I can find out in the Bible, we're not going to have church in heaven. That mess up your thinking? Some of y'all think we're going to go to heaven and we're going to be in church 24 hours a day just sitting on pews. And that doesn't sound too exciting, does it? It's going to be exciting to be in heaven. Well, you know, first thing off, God's going to be there. We're going to have actual fellowship with God. That ought to get our adrenaline flowing. This ought to be the motivating factor of our life. That we're going to heaven. We're not going to be here forever. This mess we're living in, we're going to pass through it, and we're going to get to heaven. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. This ought to be the driving force of our life. And whatever we believe about this will motivate us in the way we live today. Now, this is why I'm preaching on this in the mission conference. What's missions all about? Mission's all about God. Mission's not about people and money. Mission's about God. And God has always been on purpose. God has always been focused. And God's always been working towards heaven. And he wants people in heaven with him. You read from Genesis to Revelation, God has a plan and a purpose. And it's very focused. And it's headed towards the end. And all the way through, God has invited people along the way to join him in his mission. And when they join him in his mission, they're focused on the future. And they're looking forward to heaven. They're looking for. Now, I'll have to be honest with you. I'm not the great Bible scholar some of you people are. These Old Testament saints, I'm not sure of what all of them look forward to and what all of them are expecting. I know Isaiah seemed to have seen further out there than anybody. He saw a new heaven and a new earth, and he had a glimpse of all of that. But I'll tell you one thing, all of these saints in the Old Testament, they were looking forward. Now listen to this. They were looking forward to the Messiah coming. They were looking forward to the King coming. They were looking forward to having a perfect kingdom here on this earth. And, you know, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. We sing that at Christmas and we scratch our head thinking, how in the world are we going to pull that off? Every year we sing it and every year we'll get further from it. Hey, there's coming a day. There's coming a day when there's going to be peace on earth and goodwill towards men. It's coming a day. It's coming a day. And these Old Testament saints were looking forward to it. They were waiting on Jesus to come. Now, they didn't understand everything, and they didn't get it all correct, but they were looking forward. Honestly, you know what they were looking forward to? They were looking forward in their mind, heaven on earth. They were looking forward to it. That's what they lived for. That's the thing that dominated their life. That's the thing that controlled their life. Now, I want to ask you, what are we living for? See, all of these people have been focused, and they had something out there that motivated them, and they looked forward to it, and they were going that direction all the time. This was the thing that dominated their life. They believed in this. And whatever you believe out there controls the way you live now. And the problem we're having now is it's not controlling us. I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say. See, I'm nervous. I know my mind, and my mentally and emotionally and even physically today, I'm not 100%. And I don't want to come across incorrectly, and I don't want to come across with a bad attitude or some kind of a different, you know, I don't want to have the wrong attitude. And I don't want to come in as condescending, and I don't want to come in as critical. But somehow, when Jesus Christ was here, he came here on purpose. It was always about the Father's will and always going that way. But for somehow in our life, it's too easy for us to get sidetracked. Instead of going that way, we're out here running around somewhere. You know, just got to be something out here. And I want to tell you the second thing that you need to understand. I'll get it in here somehow. I want y'all to hear this. I think we have become sidetracked. Now, this sounds weird. We have become sidetracked with happiness. See, these people we're talking about with God, and everybody in the Bible got in on this, and everybody was focused on this and going forward in their life, their life was not about being happy. Their life was about God. But with us, somehow or another, we have decided it's important that we all have to be happy. And God knows me. I've been trying to get fundamentalism happy for years. When I came home from Japan, my goal was to put fun back in fundamentalism. The fun went out of our thing years ago. My soul, sour grapes everywhere. And I'm all for fun, and I'm all for people having. I'm all for us enjoying God, and I'm all for us. I have preached forever against funeral home services. We get in church and act like it's a funeral. And everything is doom and gloom, and especially when we take the offering. And we sing Precious Memories and all kind of stuff, you know. And I've been trying to get this thing upbeat forever. And I still like it upbeat. I don't have any problem with Christian praise music. I'm not, don't go there. I enjoy some of it, and I'm for being happy. But life's not about being happy. Are you young people? Are you hearing me? Your goal in life is to be happy, when life is not about being happy. Happiness is a byproduct. But the problem is, you know where real happiness is? Right here. If you want some real, real happiness that will never, ever go away, you got to find it here. But I want to tell you what's here, what is anchored right here in heaven. This is where it is. I want to tell you what's here that's more important than being happy. Okay, you ready? That's what we call hope. Hope. The word hope in the Bible, according to Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Word, read it back in the 1960s. Well, not the whole dictionary. I read this word. The word hope in the Bible is expectation of good. Where is our expectation of good? It's anchored in heaven. It is a great hope. It is a blessed hope. It is eternal hope. And it's all in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our eternal hope, our blessed hope, our future hope, our every kind of hope, it's all anchored in Jesus Christ. And it's in heaven. It's in heaven. It's in heaven. And when you have hope, you don't have to be happy. See, I spoke to the college students on Monday after we buried him on Saturday, and I talked to them about this thing of being happy. College students are really, oh man, they're trying to be happy. They're all about being happy. On Facebook, they're happy, happy, happy. And you know, you got to be happy. You know, we got this Christianity today. If you're not happy, something's wrong with your Christianity. If you're not happy, 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 then you need to get right with God. That's today's Christianity. Young people, that's not good. That'll not take you through life. That'll let you down. That will fail you. If you get the idea that you're supposed to be happy, 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 happy all the time, you in big, big trouble. 2 days after preaching my grandson's funeral, I asked the college students, I said, do you think I'm happy? My grandson's buried right out there. By the way, he's not buried out there, I told him. He's planted. Whatever we plant, we expect it to come up. And whatever comes up will be better than what we planted. So he's planted with hope. Well, here's the point I'm trying to get to the kids. Am I happy today? Just buried my grandson 2 days before. Am I happy? Yes and no. I'm happy to be here today. I was happy to be there with those students on Monday. I really like the kids. I really like the Bible college students. I enjoy the Bible college youth. It is a fun group to be with. They're good kids. They love God. They don't have it all straight, but they love God. They're going 40 different directions, but it's okay. They got enthusiasm, and they got life, and they got energy, and they just want to do something for God. And I get excited about them. And I'm trying to tell them it's okay, but your hope is more important than your happiness, because your happiness, for instance, your happiness depends on who won the game yesterday. I was up till midnight trying to figure out Alabama or LSU. And I don't even know why I was watching it. I'm not from either one of them. I'm from Kentucky. We'd already gotten embarrassed. Praise God, we're going to start basketball season this week. And then we can get happy. I'm not kidding you in Kentucky, buddy. When Kentucky loses on Saturday, it's hard to have a service on Sunday.
I mean, you got to you got to really do some gymnastics to have a happy service on Sunday after Kentucky losing on basketball on Saturday. See, our happiness is tied to our money, our sports, our health. You can go in the doctor's office and sit down and look at that guy in the eye. In 3 minutes, he can jerk all the happiness right out of you. See, that's just temporary stuff. You can't live for that. But you can live for eternity. And you can live for hope. See, this happiness moves around. This hope never moves. Now, let me just... I hope I'm all right with y'all. I'm not. I'm just hither, thither, and yon. And come back tonight, and I'll be hither, thither, and yon again. And tonight, the subject tonight is the best is yet to come. And when you get to be 70-something, it's good to know the best is yet to come. Amen? My son, the one that lost his son, he's always got this sense of humor. And so when I turned 50, he gave me a birthday card. He's always had these corny cards. And so I asked him about it the other day. I said, do you remember that card? Nah. Of course, after his son died, I don't think he remembers anything. And he said, he gave me a card when I turned 50. And he said, on the outside, he said, life is not over at 50. He opened it up on the inside and said, just the best part. And... And the next week, I was in the hospital with a heart attack. So it's good to know the best is yet to come. But let me tell y'all something. Here's where I'm really frustrated or struggling, okay? There's not a person in this auditorium today that's not familiar with this book. But what impact is it having on our life? Sure, we're all going to heaven. Well, this is not a joke. It is a joke, and I don't mean it in the wrong way. Most people are more excited about going to Disney World than they are heaven. I think, honestly, some people, you could ask them, had you rather go to heaven or Disney World? They'd take Disney World. Just watch people that are going to Disney World. We're on our way. 2 weeks from date, we'll be there. Nobody's pumped about going to heaven. And by the way, if you're going to Disney World, whatever you're going to go to, we always Google it. We always want to learn all about every attraction. We always want to learn about all everything that's going on. And we want to know how to be ready. We want to know how to be prepared. We want to know what we're going to be doing. We want to be dressed right. We want to have everything just right for this trip because we're looking forward to it. And we Google and we learn and we want to know everything. Bob and I went on we were given a cruise. I'm not a cruiser. But Bonnie, anyway. And we were given a cruise to Alaska. And we did it. And you know, you got to get ready. You got to take the right clothes. And you got to have all this winter garb to get up there with the glaciers and all that kind of stuff. And we're always trying to get prepared for where we're going. Who's Googling heaven? What are we going to do in heaven? We're going to have a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. And I believe this now because I've been Googling it. I got a place to Google it. If you ask me, I'll try to tell you. And I've been Googling heaven. Can you imagine what it's going to be like to live, just say, on this earth, like it was in Genesis 1 and 2, when there was no curse, and we won't have a sinful nature? Can you picture how much fun that's going to be to live on the earth with people when there's no sinful nature and no curse on the earth and the earth is happy and dogs won't bite you? lions won't bite you. Animals will be getting along with you. You have animals for your friends, and they all get along together. We can't imagine living on this earth without the curse. We can't imagine. Can you imagine living in a life like that? Well, man, this is better than Disney. The Bible says that Jesus did so much stuff when he's on earth. If everything he'd done had been recorded, the world couldn't hold the books. Well, how long is it going to take to learn about all of that in heaven? And who's going to tell us about it? Is Jesus going to tell us what he did when he was here that we don't know about? Or is it going to be somebody else? Or are they just going to hand out books and we're just going to sit around and read books for a long time? Man alive, in a perfect environment, in a perfect everything, it's going to be heaven on earth. It's going to be living in the Garden of Eden, in no sin, in no curse. Woo-hoo! You ought to Google it. It's a lot better than living here. I'll tell you what got me excited, Pastor. This guy said this, and I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's true, and I don't know if you can prove this, okay? But it blessed me. It just could be. What age are we going to be in heaven? Oh, everybody can argue that all you want to. What age are we going to be in heaven? Well. What age is Stephen now? You know, he's seven. Is he seven now? Or is he mature in heaven? Well, all I know, he's with Jesus. So that's good. That's better than being here. But you know what this guy said? I was reading his book, and he said he thinks, now nobody can prove this, but he thinks, for instance, that during the millennial reign, Stephen will be there in his glorified body as a seven-year-old boy. And now my son and daughter-in-law and us can watch him grow up and become the man that he's going to be. The very thing that I'm missing is watching him grow up. The very thing that bothers me is knowing I won't know him when he's 8. I won't see him at 8 and 9 and 10. I won't see him as a teenager. I won't see him. It hurts me to know that I won't see my grandson grow up. And it gives me hope to think that God will give that back to you. God doesn't take things away from you, people. God is not a God that takes things from you and makes life worse for you. If God takes anything from you, he'll give it back to you better than what he gave you when he took it. And I believe I don't even think he took Stephen. It's another plan there, but he allowed it to happen. And I believe someday God will give us back Stephen at that age and let us have all those pleasures that we're going to be missing in the next 10, 15, or 20 years. I think that, and to me, that's better than church. But here's the deal. I got to quit. We all know the Bible, and the Bible says, don't lay up your treasures here on earth. Matthew 6, don't lay up your treasures here on earth where there are rust and moths and thieves will steal it. Lay it up in heaven. Lay it in heaven. By the way, the thieves today that are stealing it don't look like they did when I was a kid. They were stealing out of your hen house when I was a kid. They would break into your house when he's gone when I was a kid. Now they do it with their computers. And they can just clean you out. The thieves will steal it. Don't lay up your treasures on the earth. Lay them up in heaven. Now, how does that impact us? Which is most interesting to us, heaven or the Wall Street Journal? See, this is Mission Sunday. This is Investment Sunday. This is the day we're going to talk about investing. Now, where should we be investing? We invest. Where should we be investing? We should be investing here. That's what God said. Put it here. And this is the money you'll see again. You know, we always say, well, I'll never see that again. Well, this we will. Amen. Now, I guess, Pastor, what I'm really trying to do today is give y'all a motivation for getting involved in this. I don't think you need to be taught any more lessons on missions. You have heard enough sermons on missions. Y'all know the fields are white in the harvest. Heard that one? You've heard on going to all the world and preach the gospel a time or two. Have y'all ever heard of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and giving? Of course you've heard it all. But we've lost our motivation. We're getting worn out. We're getting tired. And we're getting sidetracked. And we're beginning to put it in other places. And we're beginning to try to keep ourselves happy. And we're losing sight of where we ought to be. And all the young people in here today, where are you going to put your money? But here's the main thing. Where are you going to put your life? Where are you going to put your life? I love sports. Young people, sports are wonderful. But you need to invest your life in heaven. Eternity. Bonnie and I, now we got married in 1960. It's different, 1960. Different. Every decision that we made, basically, that has us here even today, was all made when we were teenagers. We were in public high school in Hickman County, Kentucky, in little old country Baptist churches, many, many, many times as teenagers. We would hold our hands and we would go to an altar and we'd get down and we would give our life to God. We didn't know anything. We didn't have a clue what that meant. And we were always doing that, rededicating and saying, God, you can have our life. We did that over and over. And before we ever got married, we went before the church and said, we want to have a Christian home. And we want to live for God. And we want to count for God. And this is all settled when we were teenagers. You don't wait till you're 70 to decide that. You've got to decide where you're going to put your life. Are you going to put it here? Or are you going to put it out here in the bushes where it'll bring forth some kind of happiness? Our life is happy, but it's certainly not problem-free. Certainly doesn't. It has its heartaches. It has its struggles. But we're happy because we have a hope. And it's the same way all of us with our money. Man, money's a mean subject, isn't it? But Jesus said, put it there. Brother Oler, I'll talk to you all about this tonight. I wish all of you'd come back tonight. I want to be an encouragement to you tonight. When you get in the 70s and you look back at your finances, you sometimes scratch your head and think, I could have done better. Sometimes you doubt yourself. Maybe I wasn't all that smart after all. When we joined up with BIMI, they said, you know, if you have $50,000, you can retire. You got to save up $50,000 to retire. Somebody didn't think ahead. Now we're trying to figure out how to live on their $50,000. Oh. Seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. I promise you, you can't outgive God. And God is good. I'm trying to encourage you and motivate you to just love God and look forward to heaven. And don't worry about getting involved in all of the stuff between here and there. Because the stuff is temporary. Heavenly Father, this is my heart. I don't know if I say it right. I don't know if I make it clear. I want to reach into the heart of a teenage boy and girl. I want to reach into the hearts of young married couples. Lord, today I'm really burdened to reach into the hearts of the senior citizens today and tonight and give them hope and help them to realize they've done well. This is right. It's right. There is coming a better day. There's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth. There won't be any sin. There won't be any sinful nature. There won't be any persecution. There won't be any suffering. There won't be any death. There won't be any cancer. There won't be any hospitals. We got that to look forward to. We got that to look forward to because that's our hope, and you've promised it to us. And I pray that we'd walk out of here today with our batteries charged with a new zeal and a new vigor to get invested in what we're doing financially and investing with our lives and put it all on the line for eternity. Give wisdom to this congregation, I pray, and give wisdom to the pastor. Thank you for him, and bless this invitation in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.